Good morning and welcome. Welcome to PVC Livestream. It is so good to have you join us here on this beautiful Sabbath day. A little snow outside, but it's beautiful. And we just wish you a happy Sabbath. Pastor Greg and I are so glad to be able to join you here from the sanctuary here at Pleasant Valley Church, and so glad that you were able to come and be part of this service on this day. You know, I think of those words, Greg, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. So it's good to be here. And we want to begin this morning with a prayer and just pray that God will be present here in this place and here in your home, wherever it is that you are joining us on live stream, that we can together be the family of God as we seek his face this day. Lord God, we are just so grateful to you for all the blessings you pour into our lives through Christ Jesus. What a privilege to know Jesus, to know the truth as it is in Jesus, to be part of the family of God together, to be able to come and to be still and know that you are God, to lift our voices to you and to know, God, that you hear us when we pray. And so on this day, we give ourselves to you. We give our lives to you. We thank you for the ways in which Jesus has blessed and led us. May we walk in step with you this day. May we have ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and hearts that say yes to your call on our lives is our prayer. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you, Pastor George, and it's good to be here in a familiar place. But things look a little bit different this morning, don't they?
Things are different. I look forward every single Sabbath to coming here and to being together with the family of God, worshiping together. It's very different to be here in this place and to kind of have an empty sanctuary. It's just knowing though that you, the family of God, are joining us on live stream, it means a lot to be able to know that we're together in this.
That's right. It's cool to see you guys checking in on Facebook Live. Yes. I know that folks are watching on livestream.com as well, and we're excited for both of those opportunities. I'm looking around the room right now, and I'm seeing Pastor Ashok sitting here. Yes. On the front row, and Ray Ammon is here.
Amen.
And then we have some production staff that are here.
Well,
and we're very thankful to have.
We have Sean Lee back there in the video room, and Hans Hess on audio.
That's right.
Is good.
We're really thankful that that Justin Koo and Jasper Iturriaga are here today, and they're making the Facebook Live broadcast available for all of us.
And Emily, we're so glad you're here with us too this morning. So it's not a totally empty sanctuary. That it feels good to have the family of God together.
So I think we're working on one or two little bugs. I just got a text message saying that Pastor George's mic is not on, and I'm assuming that's in the Facebook live stream. So anyway, glad we'll work on troubleshooting that if we're having problems with that. But we're so glad that you're here. One of the things that we wanted to do today is create an opportunity for interchange, for feedback. And so we're excited about being able to do that. This is our first stream on Facebook Live. And so if you're watching on live stream, you might want to hop over onto Facebook, the church's Facebook page, and just check it out. The camera angle and everything is a little bit different there. And there's an opportunity for feedback in the comments section. Pastor Ashok is monitoring those comments. I'm monitoring them as well. And so we want to just give an opportunity for you guys to share feedback. We're going to be doing a little interview, and so an opportunity for questions to be able to ask. We want to have folks be able to share their prayer requests as
yes.
well, and we'll see if we can utilize those things to help create a better sense of connectedness for all of you as a congregation this morning.
So we come together today. It's a different kind of day than we've ever experienced before, a different kind of Sabbath. I don't think I've ever driven to church when the roads were quite so empty, and in some ways it feels like kind of America's kind of shut down and people are staying home.
Were you surprised to wake up to snow this morning?
It's
an extra wrinkle in the plans.
An extra wrinkle is true. And you know, some of the conversations we've been having, and some texting, and some communication, some phone calls. There's just a lot of concern. There's a lot of concern. I know there's a lot of concern, and one of the groups of people we want to be praying for today are those who are in the health professions, those who are working there, those doctors and nurses and the medical teams, just as they're there on the front lines and being out there, standing there with this virus coming and nobody knowing for sure what's what. So we know that that's a really significant prayer request that we want to be lifting up, and we want to thank those who are serving in those roles.
I just got another text message saying George's mic is not on in the Facebook Live, so just giving you that feedback. I'll continue.
I just got another text message
to talk on this mic
saying George's mic is not on in the Facebook Live.
Just let us know when you get that working.
Just giving you that feedback.
Okay.
Sometimes things don't work the way that we expect that they're going to work.
Until we get that figured out. And just let us know when you get that. George's
mic is working in the live stream broadcast. So sometimes things don't work the way that we expect that they're going
to
work.
People over and, to the live stream on live stream.
George's mic is working
in the live
stream.
If you're only on Facebook Live right now and you need to go to livestream.com/PVCLife and you can watch the stream there. And the best information I'm hearing right now, it sounds like we're going to get that up and running. So,
good.
Hey,
good.
God is here even when the details don't go exactly the way that we expect. So, but back to what we were talking about, Pastor George, you were saying that, it is a reality that people are uptight. People are experiencing fear, and people aren't relating to each other in the ways that they normally do. And I know that the Bible speaks into that. It's hard sometimes for us to cope with all of the changes that we are confronted with in times like this. And I was talking this last week with one of my friends about church being canceled, and was thinking further about that and realized that, church doesn't get canceled.
That's right.
Because church is not a service. The service got canceled. Yeah, that's different. We're adapting to that change. But church doesn't go on lockdown or get locked up either, because church is not a building.
That's
right. And the reality is that church is people. And this experience that we're in is an opportunity for us to stand up into being the church of God. Mm. In 1 Peter, it talks about that we are living stones that God is building into a living temple. And it's awesome to think about the reality that when we're confronted with these kinds of changes, we can still be the church of God, and we can still be connected with one another, and we can still engage in ministry to each other, encouraging each other, all the things that the church of God does, proclaiming the gospel together. Since church was, quote, canceled, this week, two people said yes to Jesus and experienced freedom in him. So church
Amen.
Is, we're not
Amen.
Done. We're not done being the church. We
That's
may be
right.
having church in a different way, but we're not done being the church.
Well, and one of the things I like to think with that, Pastor Greg, is when I think about the church is wherever you are. If we're the church, it's where we are, and it's where you are this morning. So if you're together with your family, or you're together with a group of friends, and you're together and you're praying together, and you're being the people of God together. In fact, I was thinking yesterday when I was out there, and traffic was interesting yesterday. And when I stopped at Fred Meyer's, I mean to tell you, the lines were incredible. And I realized, hey, I get to be the church right here. I get to be the one who's going to be this place that's walking in the peace that passes understanding that we have in Jesus Christ, and not to be caught up in the anxiety and the stress, but to try to be on that side of just helping people go, hey, it's okay. Have conversations that are normal. Just help people to know, it's okay, I'm here for you. No, sure, you can go in front of me. No, no problem. So I think that's part of what we're about during this time. Leanne and I this morning shared together and this is actually from her Bible. It's called the Life Principles Bible. It's actually Charles Stanley has some comments that he's written here. But there's a verse here in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. If you're reading through the Bible this year, you probably haven't reached Habakkuk yet. You're probably somewhere in Leviticus, Numbers or Leviticus or Deuteronomy. But with Habakkuk, it says this, and it's Habakkuk writing at a time when when the people of God are facing an invasion from a foreign army, the Babylonian army, and all that's going to come and all that's going to happen. And look at these words that he says. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, though there be no herd in the stalls. I mean, you talk about a hopeless situation. That's what they're facing. And then you look at verse 18, he says what? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You think about what? We're going to rejoice and joy in the situation we're facing right now? And then he makes this statement. How can he do this? Because the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet. He will make me walk on the high hills. So you say, here's a man who's saying, I'm going to keep my joy in the Lord no matter what's coming down around me. Whatever the circumstances are, they don't shape who I am in Christ. And he's going to live in that reality. Let me just share a paragraph of comment here from Charles Stanley. Look what he says. When the outlook looks grim, Christ is your strength. When the circumstances seem volatile, Christ is your stability. When the future appears foreboding, Christ remains our hope. The strength of Christ is both inexhaustible and immeasurable, and it is yours and mine to receive. For God delights in upholding the weary. He delights in reviving the faint-hearted. That's from Isaiah 40, by the way. Your reservoir of emotional and physical energy may feel nearly drained, but God's supply of spiritual stamina never runs out. I want to read that again. It says here, your reservoir of emotional and spiritual energy, emotional and physical energy may feel nearly drained, but God's supply of spiritual stamina never runs out. Come to Him. Come to His Word for the strength to carry on. He will supply the power you need to traverse the rough terrain ahead. That's His promise. And God is always as good as His Word.
Yeah.
Amen? Man, isn't that good?
That's awesome.
That's really good.
That's awesome. Just thinking about the reality that when anxiety comes, when we feel like things are pressing in, oftentimes we don't run to the right places. When I say we, I mean me too.
Yeah.
And so I want to just encourage us as a family that, especially right now, when it's tempting to sit down and put on the television or to go to the internet and read news and read statistics and read all the kinds of things that are happening in place of where we really need to run to,
yes.
Let's remind each other and encourage each other that the secret place is where we need to be. That more than ever during these kinds of times, we find strength in meeting with God with the door closed in a place where the interruptions of the world can be just pressed away. I know we want to share another passage from Scripture here from Psalm 91.
Well, and actually, I like this, Greg. It's going to go right to the secret place verse.
Yeah.
And Psalm 91, verse 1, makes it our 911 verse. It's our 911 chapter, Psalm 91:1. And you're going to share it from the Living Translation.
Yeah, and just before I read that, let me just say, if you're just joining us right now on the live stream or on Facebook Live, we're glad that you're here, and we want to hear from you. There's good chat that's happening right now on Facebook Live, and we want to encourage you to share if there are prayer requests. We want to encourage you to share if you have feedback for us.
Yes.
Check in from wherever you are. I know we have people watching from far away. Maybe even as far, I know Erica is watching in South Africa right now.
Wow.
And
wow.
So if you're here on the live stream, just feel free to check in and let us know. If you're watching and you see comments in the live stream, please take a moment and just pray for the people that you see watching. In the same way you might look around the sanctuary and say a prayer for somebody.
Yeah.
One of the things that we realize is that social distancing doesn't need to mean social isolation.
Let's say that again.
Social distancing doesn't need to mean social isolation.
Yes.
And if you're listening on live stream and you don't have a way to comment there, you're also welcome to, encouraged to share a prayer request or feedback with us, questions. Via text message, you can text me directly. I'm sitting here with my phone, and
I know that we're going to put the numbers up on the screens so that you can grab those. My number is 503-927-2421. And we'd love to hear from you this morning just as a way to connect in real life. Back to Psalm 91. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but in the English Standard Version, it actually uses the word secret place, and I think it's a good connection for us to make right now. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High, ESV, I think, said...
In the secret place.
In the secret place, those who dwell in the secret place.
Yes.
Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Mm. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer, and I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation.
Boy, I love this chapter, and it's, you know, those last three verses. I like to read it and really personalize it. And I love, because what happens, the voice changes in the last three verses. It's actually God himself addressing us. And so I'm going to read those last three verses in a personal, the way it speaks it personally to me. The Lord speaking, saying, because you hold fast to me in love, I will deliver you. I will protect you because you know my name. When you call me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you. I will honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you, and I will show you my salvation. Man, I love those verses. What a word from God to us whenever we're facing a challenging time, much like we're faced now. Yeah. There's another psalm, Pastor Greg, that I love, and it's Psalm 18. And this, for me, Psalm 91 and Psalm 18 are kind of my go-to psalms at this point in my life. And Psalm 18 is where David, it says, it's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So that's interesting. All of the enemies, and including Saul. And now here are these words of David. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from all my enemies. When I read that, that's my go-to verse. I've memorized those verses. And when I begin to feel anxiety rising, whether it's in the daylight or whether it's night or whatever it is, wake up in the middle of the night, whatever it is, I go to these verses. Mm-hmm. And I repeat this prayer of David, this song of David, as my own prayer. In fact, he goes on and he says in verse 4, and I think about these words in light of the COVID-19 virus and all that it means in this world, and so many suffering right now and so many deaths already, families that are already facing this. And as we read these words, David says, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? Yeah. You think, oh, God, so far. He's saying, my cry, it's reached his ears. And I go right from there straight over to verse 16. He sent from on high. He heard me from on high. In verse 16, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many and deep waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy who hated me, who were too mighty for me, who confronted me in the day of calamity. But the Lord was my support. Now here it comes. The Lord was my support. He brought me out to a broad place. Here it comes. Wait for it. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
Yeah.
Man, I love those words. I was like, whoa, this has just become my go-to psalm whenever I feel anxiety. It's Psalm 18, those first 19 verses just feed my soul.
I love the truth there that, you know, sometimes we're tempted to think that God just loves us because he's God and he has to.
Yeah.
But he actually takes delight in us.
It's his job.
He actually takes delight in us. We are his joy. He sings over us. I mean, the scripture just reveals those kinds of things.
Yes.
It's cool. It's cool to come to the word and to receive strength and courage. And I want to just say, I actually just got a text from Dan, who said, I appreciate what you and Pastor George are sharing, particularly the scriptures. And the scriptures just speak to us right now in these times.
Yes.
And just speak truth into us and peace. We can receive the peace through the Holy Spirit that God wants us to receive. And just a reminder that we come into his presence we come into the presence of the Word, and through the Word and through Holy Spirit, and receive then the gifts of the Spirit, which are peace and joy and all the things that we may be missing if we're just kind of watching the news or allowing ourselves to enter into the anxiety of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, Pastor.
Yes, I was going to say we have a guest here today.
Yeah, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we have a guest here. Jasper Iturriaga is going to be joining us for a quick interview here.
Jasper,
while we're making that transition, I just want to say, church family, one of the things that if we weren't careful to trust in the Lord as a church and church leaders, we might be concerned about the reality that there are financial impacts for all of us that come, and the church is not immune from that. Again, this is an opportunity for us to be the church together. So we want to help. If you're in a place of need, we want to help meet needs. But we also want to ask you as a church family to remember the needs of the church and to continue in your generosity with tithes and offerings. When we're not here together, we don't collect an offering, and yet we still have a budget and we still have light bills and those kinds of things to take care of. And so we want to encourage you to do online giving. It's a super easy thing. It's actually how I do almost all of the giving that our family does. And you can just go to pvclife.com and click on Adventist Giving on the online giving right on the main screen there. And it's all easy to do right online. The church office is open during the week. If you want to bring a tithe envelope by, you can do that, or you can mail them in. But just as a reminder, normally when we're together in church, we think about taking an offering, and we thank you for your generosity. We want to do that again today. I'm really excited to have Jasper sitting across the table from me. Welcome, Jasper.
Thank you.
Yeah,
happy
and
Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to you too, man. It is super, super good to see you again. It's been close to a year, I think, since I saw you in person last.
Yeah.
You were here at Pleasant Valley, and I know you shared with our young adults a bit about
some of the things that
God is doing. And I know you have some stories to share for us today as well. But for those people who have never met you before, give us a quick little overview of who you are, where you grew up. I know you traveled far to get here, but you came from Minnesota today or this week.
Yeah, this week.
But by way of the Philippines, right?
Oh, by way of the Philippines, Cuba. Philippines, India, Philippines, Cuba.
Okay, so just for fun, how many countries have you been in, say, the last 3 or 4 weeks?
I'm not sure, maybe seven.
All right, so we're doing social distancing. You're sitting 3 feet away from me right now. No, I'm kidding, Jasper. You know, we did the fist bump earlier today.
Yeah, so we're safe.
We're safe. But, okay, so tell us how you got to where you are now in terms of just the quick story.
All right, so I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist family. My mom and dad got
in the
Philippines. I was born and raised in the Philippines, a little island called Negros Island, and I grew up there. Went to school there, and then I took my theology major there too.
So it's at so, the Philippine Union College?
Is that? No, it's called Central Philippine Adventist College.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I took my major in theology there. Apparently, I did not really choose to become a pastor, but my father forced me. You know, if you have an Asian parent, you sometimes have no choice. And so he's like, hey, you need to be a pastor, you know. And during that time when I was 17, I had a tumor in the left side of my brain. And so that was like one of the most scariest moments of my life.
We're going to come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
But after you finished school, you ended up pastoring in Indonesia, right?
Yeah, in Jakarta International Seventh-day Adventist Church. I became an evangelist there too. And right after that, what God called me to do media ministry. I left pastoral work. And right now I'm just a nomad, just traveling around. We're living out of a suitcase for about 4 to 5 years now. Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, just...
Wow, it's amazing how that you kind of breeze over that transition, like mm-hmm. yeah, God called me into this, but mm-hmm. really what it meant was like basically quitting everything in your life.
Yeah. And have 60 shirts and 2 pants and
t-shirts, yeah. 2 pairs of pants. Yeah. You literally live out of a suitcase.
Yeah, anything that doesn't fit is given away because I can't fit anything. I can't pay for 2 bags.
Yeah, what motivated you to make that change?
I think it's just full send, you know, like, oh, it's my second life. God saved me from this tumor, you know, like full send.
Yeah. Not holding anything back. Yeah, full send. I love it. And I know last time you were here, you said that you'd been in like 30 countries in 28 days. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things people might be asking is, man, who's paying your salary? How do you afford to do this?
Yeah, and
I know you're on a big ministry budget,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm. You know, that's what we Justin and I will always say. We're broke, but we're stoked. You know,
so but stoked.
Yeah. So the people invite me to speak, or sometimes we have filming stuff, projects, and that gives me a little bit of a way to fly, and people buy my tickets, and so
yeah,
I can't pay for my own ticket.
I remember you told me basically you committed to God that you would go wherever someone called you to go, and was able to and were able to help pay for. And I know there have been situations where people have invited you and maybe haven't been, but God has met needs in other ways. And it's amazing to see how that happens.
I've never paid for a ticket for the past 4 years.
That's awesome.
As far as I can remember, maybe, you know, but as far as I can remember, I've never paid any single ticket.
Yeah. You've gotten into filmmaking and photography in a big way along the way. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not the person to brag, but I'll brag for you. I know that your photos have been featured on National Geographic.
Some of it, yes.
Yeah. And you've had some videos that you've made that have gone big, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You share about how you got broke into YouTube in terms of ministry.
I think my the ministry, mostly most of the views got into Facebook. As in the Philippines, they're big in Facebook. We're not really big in YouTube as much as it is now. But yeah, coming in, making all these mission videos. You know, I worked for Philippine Airlines, so we got almost like millions of views on that one. And so that really got me into thinking, wow, I could reach a lot of people. You know, because I was an evangelist, I could reach maybe 100, 200 people. But this platform, I could reach millions, you know. Yeah. So that, I think that's where it started, you know, that inspiration where, you know, we need to take advantage of this.
I know that one of the videos, the first videos that I saw from you was a video that you had done in Papua New Guinea, mm-hmm. Out in the jungle missions, and
walking.
You guys had flown out and you had your drone there, but with the kids, and man, that was so moving to see that. And I know that God is using your skills and talents in a way that is significant to be able to also fund ministry for you, but also to be a blessing to the church.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that some of our folks here have watched the series that you did on the Reformation.
Oh, Lineage.
Is that on Adventist Review TV?
Yeah, ARTV. I think they show it in Hope Channel or some of these.
And that's your brainchild. You produced that.
I was one of the creative directors. We have a 4-man, 5-man crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we travel in Europe, also in the U.S., of course. Yeah. All these
so one of the things I want people to be able to do is to connect with you and
awesome.
Your ministry.
Perfect.
Will you? I know you're doing some production work this morning here.
Yeah.
But when we're done with this interview, will you jump on the stream and post your Instagram and Facebook?
Sure, perfect.
And maybe you could share. Mm-hmm. Why don't you share that Facebook video that I referenced?
Yeah.
It's on the screen right now. You guys are so on top of it.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you, Justin.
Let's shift gears for a minute, Jasper. And I have 2 or 3 questions I want to ask you. But so you've dealt with a lot of change and uncertainty in your life.
Yeah.
And You mentioned earlier that you had a brain tumor, and what have you learned about facing anxiety, facing change. Mm. What has your experience taught you so far about that?
I think one of the greatest struggles with us Christians is that most of us, I mean, as far as my experiences, we're very fearful of stuff, you know, and when I face that tumor, it's just, what am I going to do? I'm only 17. I have so many dreams in life, you know, and I'm going to be stuck here. I'm probably going to be dead and all this, the questions in your mind, you know, and I was very fearful, very, very fearful. And the Lord just gave me that hope that, hey, I have plans for you. And sometimes, you know, it's easier said than done. If you have a tumor and you read all these promises, you feel like, okay, that feels like science fiction. You know, oh, I will heal you, you know, I'll give you this and that. And I'm like, oh man, that's science fiction. You know, but you just got to trust the Lord, man. Like, there's no such thing as soon enough I'll transition to a trust feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no such thing. You just need to grab onto that promise and say, Lord, I don't trust you right now, but please help my unbelief. You know, and so that was my whole situation, man. And the Lord proved that, you know, the Lord proved that he's powerful. You know, every 6 months, I remember I was taking theology during that time. Every 6 months, we would have a checkup and the tumor's getting smaller.
Without
medication. I was not a vegetarian during that time, so I can't say, oh, because of health reform or whatever. So it was because of the Lord fully. Yeah. And so the Lord healed me every 6 months, tumors getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it was completely gone when I was 20 years old. Completely gone.
That's amazing.
And until now, people are like, I don't know what happened, why it was gone. And so God healed me, man. There's a quote from one of my favorite author that says, grace is an attribute given to undeserving human beings. We do not seek for grace, but grace was sent in search for us.
Wow.
And that was my story.
Yeah.
I was not seeking for grace at all. God found me.
I love that. And I was thinking as you were talking about the science fiction thing, mm-hmm. you know, oftentimes when we're faced with challenges, when we're faced with fear, we respond in the natural.
Yeah.
But faith is in the supernatural.
Yeah.
God doesn't operate. I mean, God meets us in the natural world. I'm not saying that, but I mean, what we believe as Christians is that God has intervened in the history of this world in ways that are supernatural. Yeah. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Like that's like we could look at that in the natural and say, well, that sounds like science fiction. No, that's real. That's what's real. And so God met you in the middle of that. And our faith is not in natural ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been to situations that are so too close, you know, a few years ago. Right now, I'm still struggling with it. I'm afraid of flying. Dude, can you imagine that? I fly every week.
Multiple times every week.
I'm afraid of flying. And one time we were in a mission trip in a six-seater airplane and we got into a storm. And legit, man, I thought that was it. You know, like I'm going to die. Our bags are everywhere. Like, oh, I'm going to die. You know, I want to get married. I want to have kids, but this is it. You know, and that was, I was literally praying, Lord, you know. And it's,
I like, by the way, I like how you worked that in there about wanting to get married and have kids. That's all.
see that coming?
I couldn't let that. Come on, I couldn't let that pass, bro.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
I couldn't let that pass.
You should stop exposing me, man.
So, hey, Jasper, I got I got a text message from Raji, and he just said my family's been so blessed by the lineage videos.
Oh,
God bless this young man with continued abundance of passion to continue to serve Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for watching.
Yeah. It's cool to be able to receive feedback, and I'm gonna ask. I have like one more question for you, but I'm gonna ask you. To submit your text questions to me on that phone number or on the Facebook Live page, Pastor Ashok, if you see questions come that you want, just go ahead and speak them because I'm not able to focus on the questions online. I'm doing my best with the text. So here's my question for you. Let's narrow it to recent, if it's okay. I didn't tell you these questions ahead of time, but
no.
Like if you think about like maybe the last even 2-3 months, how have you seen God at work in your life? What is he teaching you right now? Mm-hmm. And if you need to expand it out a little bit more beyond 2 or 3 months, that's okay. But
can I relate it to what's happening right now?
Absolutely, please do.
Oh, yeah. Right now, the Lord has just taught me to be dependent on him. You know, like I've been for the past few years coming, like working with Justin in the first world setting, it became so comfortable. You know, everything is just comfortable right now. And the Lord just reminded me, man, like you cannot trust everything on just human power. You know, right now the Lord is just giving me understanding that you need to trust in him fully. And right now our schedules are all gone. Like for the next, I don't know how many weeks, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. You were supposed to be leaving this week for Nepal.
Yeah.
Along with Justin.
Yeah, and we have a project.
Along with Tommy and Monica Dalrymple, yeah. Others from here in the Oregon Conference, yeah. and from our PVC mm-hmm. family. That trip is done.
Done.
That's canceled. And so, yeah. And actually you've had maybe, Justin mentioned me yesterday, maybe mm-hmm. 6 months worth of yeah. appointments and things that have canceled.
Gone.
And so there's a lot of uncertainty for you right now, isn't there?
A lot of uncertainty for us creatives. We yeah. don't know where we're going, but I'm happy that the Lord is giving me peace. You know, always every night I would just pray, Lord, I don't really pray for whatever schedules, but I just pray for peace tonight.
Yeah.
I want to sleep properly, you know, and just pray above anything else. I just want peace.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm happy where I am, and I know it's uncertain, but I just want peace. You know, I remember the story of Daniel. You know, throughout my heroes in the Bible, I always think about how are these guys able to pray like this, praise God like this amidst all this. And if you look at Daniel chapter 6, it talks about how the king delivered Daniel to the lion's den, right? He's persecuted. He's about to be thrown to the lion's den. He was like, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he will save you. And then he left home. And he slept he went to his bed, and the Bible said his sleep fled. Like, I was like, wow, he was in the most comfortable place in the world, the most powerful kingdom. He's probably has the most amazing bed, yet he can't sleep. And I was just thinking, now this is not in the Bible, just in my mind. I'm thinking about Daniel. He's in the lion's den, surrounded by all these lions, but he was peaceful. Mm. Like, so peace then is not in the absence of storm or trials. It's not the absence of viruses. Peace is in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think that's such a powerful thought for me to think about the story of Daniel.
I Googled it because Google is the ultimate Bible commentary now, or not commentary, but concordance now.
Right.
Psalm 127 verse 2, it says that he grants sleep to his beloved, to the ones that he loves.
Powerful stuff.
That's straight out of the Bible. So if you're struggling with anxiety and you're having a struggle to sleep, you know what? Holy Spirit comes freely available to us. Mm. By the way, Luke 11:11 through 13 says that there's no time when we ask for Holy Spirit that God doesn't want to give us that gift, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,
peace.
Peace.
Wow, I think that's the most amazing gift the Lord could give us, peace.
Yeah.
The people ask for material things.
Yeah.
Ask for peace, man.
Yeah. So hey, I'm scanning the comments. Are there have there been any questions that have come in for Jasper? All right, we're still getting used to the questions.
No worries.
So I do know I saw some questions here about your social stuff. So your Instagram and all that. And I do want to mention. Did I ask you already? Are you on Patreon?
Yeah.
Okay. So Patreon is a way if you want to get on board and support.
Awesome.
I know you probably won't want to share that in the comments, but Justin can out you in the comments. It'll be good. Jasper, thanks for being here. We're going to pray in just a minute. I know we're going to pray for you. I'm looking forward to the fact that maybe you'll be here in Portland for a little while. And thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
For what you're doing. I know that already the church is expressing a lot of appreciation for what's happening on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't be happening without you and Justin being here today. So, so thanks for ways that you can help us in the middle of this stuff to be able to connect in real life with each other through social media and digital stuff.
I appreciate you, man.
Hey, man. Love you, and glad that you're
Thank
here.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Church family, we're going to spend a moment here in prayer. And I know that there's lots of things that are that we can be praying for. And wow.
That was a powerful story. Thank you so much. Jasper, thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing just your heart and your faith in God in an uncertain time.
Absolutely.
I know that we as a church family have been praying together Sabbath after Sabbath for members of our church family. We want to do that again right now. And just take a moment and pray that God, that we will see, what is God doing in your life? For each one of us, ask the question, Lord, how is it that you are using this time of change where the world feels turned upside down? How are you intending to use that in our lives? I remember Pastor Greg, a statement some years ago I read that stuck with me. It just said, we call it illness. The angels call it stillness. And in terms of when things change and we're suddenly in a place where life isn't normal, then how do we to be aware and alert to hear the Spirit whisper to us how God intends to use this event in our lives?
Yeah.
So let's just pray together right now.
Let's do it.
Lord God, we want to thank you so much for this privilege to be here together as the family of God and to be able to seek your face, to come into your presence, to be still and know that you are our God. And Lord, we thank you that your promise is that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that your purpose for us remains no matter what the circumstances are around us. Lord, I thank you for Jasper. I thank you for the testimony of faith he just shared here in this place. And in that piece that he shared, that, you know, here's the king who can't sleep, and yet here's Daniel surrounded by the lions who falls asleep and knows that his life is in your hand. And so this day, Lord, we come to you with every fear and concern, every anxiety on our hearts, and we just lift that up to you. We offer it up to you right now. We give it to you, Lord. Please, please take it. You've said, come to me when you're weary, heavy laden. Come to me when you're afraid. Give it to me, Lord, the Lord says. And we are right now, Lord, just offering up to you anything that would hinder us from being able to know the peace that passes understanding, to be in that place where we can be alert to the leading of your Holy Spirit as he lifts up Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, in our church family, we want to pray especially for Judy Doty and for Judy Shaler. Lord, we've been praying for some weeks, some months now for healing for these two sisters, and we continue to pray, God, that your hand of healing would be upon them. We pray for Jenny, God, and for Jenny and her family. We pray for Jody, and God, ask God for your healing in her life as well. We pray for Liana. We pray for Randy. Lord, we just give these loved ones to you and just ask God that your hand of healing on them would set them, first of all, that they would know that they're in your hand. There's no safer place to be than in the hand of God, and that they would know that they could trust you with their lives and the lives of those they love. And Lord, this day, we also lift up especially the Tonak family, as they say goodbye to their dear Greg. And God, our hearts go out to this family, and with them we long for that day that Jesus comes again. And he comes, and with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the shout, and the trumpet of God, that the dead in Christ will rise first. And so, God, we know, and we hold on in hope, knowing that whether we live or we die, we belong to you. So thank you for hearing our prayer, and thank you, God, for being the kind of God that we can trust with our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, in the time that remains, Pastor George, we're going to spend some time in the book of Luke.
Yes.
And
yes.
So back to the Word.
We're in Luke chapter 7, if I remember. If you have your Bibles there at home, please get your Bible and go there with us. We're going to look at this story of, at least the title of my Bible, it says, A Sinful Woman Forgiven. It's an amazing story here. In fact, I'll just read the first part of the story. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house. I'm in verse 36 of chapter 7 in Luke. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Wow, what a picture.
That's precious, isn't it?
I'm thinking of Jesus at this moment.
Yeah.
And right there in the middle of this social setting, something very inappropriate starts to take place. And even more inappropriate when you consider when people looked at her and went, oh, we know who she is. We know what job she does. Mm. What a moment in that place. In fact, it goes on in 39, the Pharisee himself, when he saw this, he said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, I just added the word really, but if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Wow.
I
Yeah, if he had only known.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, he had no idea who this was. Huh?
I love these times in the gospel when, you know, people just they miss, you know, who it is they're talking to and say things like that. I want to challenge us to think about what Jesus did know, and the way in which he related to this woman. And by this story, I want us to be reminded, I want us to be pulled in to something that Pastor Jonathan shared with us last Saturday night, the last session of our little mini weekend.
The LRT weekend.
Yeah, the LRT weekend. And that is that, he took us through kind of seven steps of how to share the gospel with people. But the first two of those I want us to focus on right now. The first one was that we see in everyone their created value. We see their created value.
Yes.
And ultimately, I think those seven steps really, you look at those seven steps, it's like,
eight steps, actually.
So that's how Jesus related to people.
Oh, yeah.
Was from the lens of every person wanting to seek a way to draw them in, and so seeing their created value, first of all. So Jesus, what Jesus knows about this woman, even in a socially awkward situation, potentially, he sees her created value.
Yes.
And then secondly, Jonathan encouraged us to see every human being that we interact with as a landing place for the Holy Spirit. So if we begin with that in mind, how Jesus related to this woman, he related to her first on the basis of her created value, not on the basis of her circumstances, her choices, yes, the things that she had done. None of those things right. were the basis for how he related to her. He related to her through the lens of created value and as a potential landing place for the Holy Spirit.
I think it was that last Sabbath morning in his message where he spoke to the man who was paralyzed and brought to Jesus. And he said, Jesus looked at me and he knew exactly what his need was. And you say, well, how do you know? How do you look at him and how does he know this? Well, he looked and said, the man has legs, doesn't he? I mean, there's created value. He was created with those legs to be able to walk.
Yeah.
But here's a man that now cannot walk. Here's a woman who has this created value to be the daughter of God. And yet, through her life circumstances and choices that she's made, she's in a place that, you know, we use the language of the fall. Yeah, that's not just true something back at the beginning with Adam and Eve, but it's something in terms of our own lives and needing to be seen in, with the value that we were created with, and then that place where he comes to bring healing and new life into our lives.
Yeah. I was thinking about, the response of the Pharisee, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. And just thinking about that place of judgment and some self-reflection, the ways in which I've judged people. I don't know what this woman's appearance looked like in that moment. It's actually a very tender moment when you think about it. I mean,
wow.
The song that we sing, it's called Jesus, We Love You. And the bridge is, our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus.
Yes, that's this story.
That's this story. So yes. it's love and affection that we're seeing mm-hmm. revealed here. And yet the Pharisee is sitting, you know, from a place of judgment, maybe based on how someone looks. You know, I don't have to ask. I'm sure all of us have judged someone based on the way they look. I remember just shortly before my dad passed away, I preached a sermon down in Medford Church, and I talked in that sermon about hope and about hopelessness. And so it was a very real and somewhat raw message. But in the process of after that, you know, people coming up and whatnot, I noticed that there was a person that was waiting to speak to me, kind of disheveled looking. And I thought to myself, as soon as I saw him, I thought to myself, this guy is going to hit me up for money. So I talked to one or two other people and then there was a space and he walked up and he said, I just wanted to say thank you for the message you gave. And
I was like, oh, thank you very much. And I'm still in that place of like expecting that he's going to ask me for money. And so he said, you know, the Lord gave me a Bible text that I wanted to share with you. And he said he gave me something to share with you. And I thought, oh, that's cool. He said, well, I took the time to write it down because I thought maybe you wouldn't remember it. And he took out a folded up piece of paper and gave it to me. And I was like, oh, very cool. And I took the paper, put it in my pocket, and someone else had tapped me on the shoulder to ask me a question. I looked away, and when I looked back, I didn't see that person again. I thought maybe they had gone into for the potluck meal. I went in there, didn't find them. And ultimately, I never found them again, but I forgot about the piece of paper.
Mm.
When I later remembered it on the day that my dad died, I went and got it, and that I opened that message, and it was a Bible passage that said, wow, the righteous man dies and no one considers it, no one takes it to heart, that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Wow. And I thought, wow, instantly I was like, this man's testimony to me was that God had given him a passage straight, and he had taken the time to write it down. And I look back at the way that I judged him and thought that I knew just based on the way that he looked. And I was like, wow, that was just an incredible reminder to me that we never judge someone based upon the way that they look. But I was thinking also about the reality that we judge people sometimes based on what we know to be true about them. Mm-hmm. And that's really what was happening in this story. This man knew some things.
Her reputation was known. Yes.
And I think about the ways that I've judged people based on what I've known to be true about them. And I want to just quickly say this. If someone's living under a lie and they're acting out of that,
out of the lie,
then what's true about them? Right?
Yes.
And so I think that there's a call in this for us to see, to see the way that Jesus sees, to see what's actually true about someone instead of what's true about the lie that they're living under.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to challenge us, even if the facts of someone's life lived maybe don't line up with what we see as truth, that's okay in the context of this discussion. I want us to encourage, you know, remember, we're seeing people for created value. We're seeing people for as a potential landing place for the Holy Spirit. Every person has created value. Every person has the ability to receive Holy Spirit. And let's see people for the truth of who God created them to be, and not for the living out of lies that they might be living under. That just came strong through
this
passage.
Yes, yes, that is powerful, Greg. And I really thank you for sharing that, and the truth of who God created people to be, and then at such great cost, his act of redemption, to be able to bring them back and adopt them back as son and daughter again. Yeah. It's just powerful.
Yeah.
Let's continue this story. Yeah. So Jesus then responds to the thoughts. Isn't this interesting? Because the man, when he said to himself, the Pharisee, you know, if this man were a prophet, he'd know. He would know who this woman was and what sort of woman she is. Touching him, she's a sinner. In verse 40, Jesus answers and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Jesus continues, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and another 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? So here's one with 10 times the debt that the other, 50 and 500, here we are. And Jesus asked the question, hey, they both have their debt canceled. Who's going to love more? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. Mm. And Jesus said to him, you judged rightly, Simon. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Oh, let me hold a second here, just a second, before we move into that, Greg.
Sure.
This whole thing about debt and canceling of debt. You know, this whole idea, we say, well, so here, a guy, he loans 500, and he loans 50, but then here they are, they owe him this. And then he cancels this. It's like, cool, I'm off the hook. I'm free. This is wonderful. This is great. You know, I guess there is no debt to pay. Think about that for a moment. Like if you come to my house and somehow you kind of, you know, we're talking and you kind of just kind of get careless and you swing your arm out and you knock my $1,000 lamp off the table. Okay, I don't have one of
this
those.
This might have happened, but you
well,
don't
it might. Okay, we don't have to talk lamp, about that. So. Okay. But you knock.
Have so, I ever broke anything at your house?
I don't remember I that okay, you have. Good. No, all not, right. not
I was,
recently.
For a moment, I was saying, Lord, is it I?
Okay. So you knock that lamp off the table. Well, I have a choice. I can either say, hey, you owe me, or I can say, you know what? Hey, it's just a lamp. I forgive you, man. No, please, it's okay.
I know which one of those you would say, actually, Pastor George, because I know you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hope I'm as good
you
as
you. You would forgive me.
I want to be the man who would forgive you for that.
You
I
would.
Do.
You would.
But think about this. If I say I forgive you, what that really means is that I'm buying it myself. It's that I'm owning the debt.
Yes.
So it's not like it was canceled and there's no. This is such a picture of Jesus.
The offense is absorbed.
Yes. And I think of that old song back when I first started hearing the gospel and going, oh, that's what it is. But there was a song I remember my friend Ed, who was a pastor, Youngstown, Ohio. He paid a debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take that debt away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the victory's won, for Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Yeah. I mean, there's that picture of debt and just all that.
That's a good segue. The song is a good segue to the what comes next when he's talking about the one who's been forgiven much loves much. And I think that's a truth that we see. This last week, I had the privilege of sitting together with two of my friends, and one of them was receiving gospel and getting free. Mm. And it was just amazing. I know that you're going to have an opportunity to hear the story from him. And the church is going to have that opportunity as well. But in the process, he made the statement, you know, I love coming to Pleasant Valley and just sitting and listening to people sing, because when I close my eyes and listen, it's the song of angels.
Mm.
And I understand what he meant by that. It sounds angelic. It's beautiful, and he was mentioning that it brings peace to him. But I said, hey, do you want to know what that song is, what that means when you hear that? I said, that's the song of the redeemed.
Amen. Amen.
Those people who are singing those songs, listen, when we worship, when we stand and lift our hands up to the Lord, when our hearts respond to God, it's out of a sense of gratitude for the fact that I've been forgiven much.
Yes.
And I love much, you know, and the more I become aware of and the more I think about the debt that was canceled, the debt that was paid on my behalf, the more the response from my heart is worship. Mm. And that's the song of the redeemed. Incidentally, it's a song that angels can't sing.
That's right.
That's why it's the song of the redeemed.
Yes.
Angels never fell. They can't experience the joy of our salvation.
Angels never felt the joy. Angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings.
Yeah.
It's the old song, the old hymn.
From the old hymn.
Yeah.
And I think that just says that says so much about the reality that when we've been forgiven much, we love much. Look, Jesus saying in verse 47.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Jesus saying in verse 47. Were you going to skip that far down?
Go to 44.
Okay, verse 44.
Turning to the woman.
Jesus, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven only a little shows only a little love. And then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Oh, What a powerful story of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when he says there, when he says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Just a reminder, a remembrance that, you know, our faith, it's not faith in our faith. Our faith always has an object, and our object is Jesus Christ.
That's right, yeah.
And so we say—
I got some amens from through the production staff here.
Our faith is our faith in Jesus, and so he says, and because you receive Jesus as this one who is— he's the one, he's the lifeguard who swims out to bring us back to shore.
Right.
He's the one.
The Bible, I can't pass up the opportunity to say this again. The Bible says there's one Lord,
one
faith, one baptism.
Yes.
Okay. Jesus is the Lord.
Yes.
It's his faith.
Yeah.
I place, he's the object
of
my
Jesus.
Faith.
The it's faith
the faith
of Jesus.
I place my faith in the faith of Jesus, which it was his faith that was able to go all the way to the cross.
Yeah.
He said yes in every circumstance.
Everyone.
I haven't said yes in every circumstance in my life. And so I place my faith in the faith of Jesus. And by the way, it was his baptism, the baptism on the cross, the baptism of death on the cross. So one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Our faith has an object. In the middle of all of the experiences that we're experiencing now for the first time, many of us, never been in a place like this, never been in a place where the governor said, stay home, social distance, all these kinds of things. My faith, our faith, as an object is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Let's pray.
Please, please.
And then we're going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Lord, we love you. We thank you for the solid foundation of your word. We thank you that we can come together through technology and just be in the same place and of the same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith is placed in you, Jesus. We thank you for the ways that you have said yes so that we can say yes.
Yes.
Thank you for your faith, Jesus.
Yes.
So that we have an object for our faith. We place our faith in you and your perfect finished work. We thank you that you continue to pour out your grace and mercy into our lives and your love through Holy Spirit, that every one of us has free access to that. And Lord, I pray that you would speak peace through Holy Spirit into the lives of everyone right now who's listening to this message and to my voice. That you would speak peace through Holy Spirit, that you would grant us freedom from anxiety, that you would grant us health and strength. And in the event that we experience sickness, that we would continue to place our faith in you because we know that your word is sure and you've promised that we have the gift of Holy Spirit in this life and eternal life in a world to come.
Amen.
And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunities that we've seen to see you at work this week as people have said yes to you and have experienced freedom and have stepped from darkness into light.
Amen.
We praise you for that. We sing out the song of the redeemed.
Yes.
We've been forgiven much. My sins, though they are many, have been forgiven by your grace. And Lord, for every one of us that can sing that song of the redeemed, Lord, I pray that we'll sing it at the top of our lungs and that others will come and join us as you continue to send folks to be a part of a church family where you are lifted up.
Amen.
That's our prayer, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, church family, for joining us online, and we want to say a blessing and go in God's peace.
Yeah, and please go, as we said earlier, please this week ahead, go to the secret place, find Jesus, go from that place to be a channel of grace and light and peace, and be the blessing in this world that our world needs right now. God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.